This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few.
Queen to salute our Tampa Bay Lightning, who won the Stanley Cup last night, 2-0. I think the final score was. It was a great game for Tampa. I think they kind of dominated. They were dominating the series. They won 4-2. And so, after 16 years, we bring back the Stanley Cup. Very happy about that. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, September the 29th, Debate Day. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant, a former border agent, a book author. We're going to talk about any immigration and border issues they may bring up in the debate tonight. You think they're going to talk about immigration in any way? We'll find out. And our regular contributor to the show, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi, will join us later to say whether he still thinks that Joe Biden will not show up tonight for the debate. What are the odds? Let's find out what Andrew still thinks about that. And is Congressman Ilhan Omar guilty of ballot harvesting? Ballot harvesting, you know, where you go around and you collect people's ballots? And you tell them you're going to take them down to the poll for them? You know, like going into nursing homes and this and that or down the street? It's not really very legal, you know. But that's what Project Veritas says that she's doing. We're going to take a look at it. And in our Ultimate Top 10, yesterday we gave you some famous quotes, some of them new, some of them old, but we're going to go back and give you the top 10 of the most famous historical misquotes that were never said. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. And for you guys, the best haircutting salon in Tampa Bay for men is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. But you got to dial in to get your reservation, 727-733-3773. Well, Ilhan Omar, a Somalian, is being investigated by the Minneapolis Police Department. And she's being investigated for claims by Project Veritas that individuals tied to Omar engaged in ballot harvesting before the election. Now, here is what the police say. The Minneapolis Police Department is aware of the allegations of vote harvesting. We are in the process of looking into the validity of these statements. No further info is available at this time. Now, you remember that Project Veritas is hated by the mainstream media, because the guy that runs it, a young man, infiltrates different things like Planned Parenthood, for example, and some other organizations. And he has a little tape recorder. And he'll sit down and talk with people that work at these different places. And it's amazing what he comes up with. He's a conservative, and therefore the mainstream media goes after him as if he's some sort of right-wing wacko. Have you ever noticed the mainstream media always does that to people? Especially if they're effective, they become a right-wing wacko. Do you remember how they treated Sarah Palin? And Mitt Romney, when he was running against Barack Obama, out of touch, strange, all of that kind of thing. Now, all of this is coming up just weeks before the election, and it is expected to see a surge in absentee or mail-in voting, and in Minnesota in particular, it's come under judicial scrutiny as Republicans and Democrats are battling over a measure that would limit the number of ballots that a third party could hold for others, okay? Now, you can assist somebody, you know, like a family member or somebody, in voting. Let's say you go to a polling booth. That's allowed. You can help them out. But you can't go around taking a big bushel basket. Hey, put your vote ballots in here, and I promise you we'll get them over to the poll. I don't think so. We don't do that. So it'll be very interesting to see about this. Of course, Donald Trump jumped on it. He said, this is totally illegal. Hope that the U.S. attorney in Minnesota has this and other of her many misdeeds under serious review. So we'll see where all of that goes. Now, that's on the heels of this debate that's coming up, and everybody is talking about it. This might be the most viewed debate in history. I'm not sure if the percentage of television sets in use will surpass the Nixon-Kennedy debates. But remember, in 1960, there weren't as many TVs. And so this might be, overall, the most eyes that are fixed on a debate between these two. And, of course, the Las Vegas, Nevada betting, the over-under for when Joe Biden starts blinking his eyes and flapping his lips uncontrollably. I think the over, I think the over-under is 35 minutes into the debate. Have you made your bet yet, Ed, on that?
No, but I can tell you that with the major networks and Major League Baseball starting with their playoffs today, all the games are scheduled early.
Because maybe, of the debate at 9 o'clock.
Maybe to avoid the debate, yeah, 9
That's
o'clock.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
There's games starting at 3 and the Rays start at 5, and they'll be should be well done before for 9 o'clock.
In fact, later on, we'll talk a little bit about our beloved Rays. They're not getting the ink that our beloved Lightning was getting because the Lightning was in the finals.
Right.
But in the meantime, we got this debate going on, and Joe Biden is apparently aggressively preparing. He's so much so that you've hardly seen him.
He's gonna be worn out before the debate.
Yes. Let's see. Biden is engaging in mock standoffs. I wonder who's been playing Trump. Maybe his wife has been playing Trump. Maybe she gets dressed in a big dark blue suit with a long tie, and she puts orange hair on, and she pretends that she's Trump, and she stands on the other side of the room.
They were smart. They'd recruit Hillary to come in and stand in.
Yeah, and they might have done that. Now, you know that Donna Brazile fed answers to Hillary Clinton during a town hall one time.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't feed them. She gave the answers, or the questions, rather.
In advance.
In advance.
Isn't that nice?
I wonder if Donna Brazile is going to be anywhere near the Cleveland, Ohio
facility.
I think
what they're worried about is Joe Biden having some sort of device in his ear.
It's going to be on his watch, Ed. And see, here's the deal. He's going to keep looking down at the time, and if anybody asks, I just kind of like to keep track of the length. And he'll have a little teleprompter inside of his watch.
Ah, technology.
Yeah, technology is wonderful. But seriously, folks, we've got, and we're going to talk a little bit about it later, Chris Wallace doing the interview. We're going to talk a little later about Chris Wallace, his perspective on it, will he be fair, all those kind of good things. But we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, my buddy Neville Kramer is with us. We're going to talk about, will security and immigration issues pop up during the debate?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million.
but you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, everybody. Clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good.
Hey, we are back. And delighted to have my friend Neville Kramer join us. Neville is a security consultant. He's a former INS agent. He's an author of a great book called Immigration Chaos. And I wanted to have him on because I'm thinking, Neville, that such things as immigration, border wall, security issues have kind of taken a back burner to some of the other things that are going on right now. Do you think tonight that that any of those issues might come up?
Yeah, hi, Paul. Great to be on the show again.
Yeah, our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Probably. I'm not certain whether the wall is really going to be a big issue. I think there's other things that are taking his place. And what Biden might attack him on is, you know, you promised us that you were going to put the wall up and Mexico is going to pay for it. And it didn't happen. And, you know, it's 300 miles when it should be, you know, what you were suggesting was 2,000 miles and this kind of stuff. But that's only going to come up if immigration comes up. You'll notice that Chris Wallace, in the things that are listed that he's going to go, I don't think immigration was listed.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about immigration directly, but it's kind of like there's some general topic areas. And then you know that he's going to probably let the two candidates, I mean, if one of the candidates all of a sudden brings it up, say Biden says, you know, Trump doesn't even have this border wall, he's only got a few miles built or something like that, I would think Chris Wallace would let them ride along with that for a while.
Yeah, I think they'll. I'm not certain. I think there's so many other issues, Paul. That there is one thing with immigration, though, that connects to this voter fraud, which is interesting. And I just want to mention it quite quickly. In 1993, we had a law passed called the Motor Voter Act. Bill Clinton signed it, and it basically gave individuals that go in to get their driver's license and almost an immediate capability to obtain a voter registration card. The illegal immigrant population realized this, and when they went in to use fraudulent documents to get driver's licenses, which they could easily do because the DMVs didn't have any access to see whether the documents were valid or not, they would check the box saying that they were United States citizens because they received in the mail subsequent to that a voter registration card. And a voter registration card, when you go to an employer to fill out this form for employment authorization, the voter registration card is de facto that you're a United States citizen.
Right.
De facto evidence. So they use the cards. And then, of course, when you were talking about harvesting earlier with Ilhan Omar, the people in the illegal community realize that when you have the voter registration card, you can vote. So why not go and find 500 or 1,000 of these people you helped out over a period of years and say, look, here's $10, $15, whatever it is, and go vote for this particular individual. Now, that has never been determined whether that's going on or not, but just consider one thing. If you give somebody a driver's license, and they usually go out and drive. So if you give them a voter registration card, more than likely some of them are going to go out and vote.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And some of the states have been trying to allow people to that are immigrants, even illegal immigrants, of course, to get driver's licenses. They get the driver's licenses, and all of a sudden they have access to voting. And I don't know why people haven't figured out. That doesn't make any sense. It's kind of scary. So I'm thinking, how many illegal immigrants now are legally voting, you know, in this country?
We'll never know. The secretaries of state have no clue as to how to fight this, to even consider this. The police department's mentioned, Jim, interesting, the police department in Minneapolis is looking into it. The police officers have no idea what they're looking at.
Yeah.
So, it's just curious as to that we have no interest in this kind of thing. The general public does have very little interest unless it's election time.
Donald Trump has certainly brought it back to the forefront. He's questioning anybody, whether they're illegal or not, that has a, opens their mailbox and gets a form that allows them to go ahead and vote by mail. You don't even know if it's going to the right person. You know, was it Utah that would just mail them out wholesale based on where they thought people lived? I'm just thinking, what? What kind of sense does this make?
None, absolutely, and the capacity for fraud is enormous. Just exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So, I wanted to bring up another security issue that I found. I hope this doesn't come to pass, but there is so much animosity against Trump and his administration based upon the selection of Amy Barrett to take Ruth Bader Ginsburg's place. That I'm afraid on the disruptive end that they're going to go after some of the people involved in the Senate, I don't know about kidnapping them, but anything from even assassination. I mean, these people in some areas are crazy about the abortion issue, and so forth. They might do something. I mean, we've got wackos out there, as we well know. I mean, if some guy will go in and kill 15 or 20 children in a school, who knows what else they'll do.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, it's a very interesting topic that you're bringing up, because I'm thinking about all these mayors and other people that are politicians where crowds gather now at their house, and there's all kinds of demonstrating going on. And you know there are some people in these crowds that are willing to do something bad. Then there's confrontations now in restaurants. As you know, some famous people, or not celebrities, but politicians, I think it was Mitch McConnell and his wife were eating at a restaurant one day, and a couple of people came up and started going after them, you know, harassing them. And those things, And even just general, you know, people in general that are sitting with their families, you know, maybe they're eating in a restaurant, they're kind of, and then they're crowded around by these nuts. I guess the whole concept, maybe of the whole concept of our allowing legal protest to blossom into confrontation. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't understand it, to tell you the truth. One thing that I've noticed, though, that when they show these pictures of these people going into the restaurants and harassing people, I'm amazed that there aren't more people that are carrying guns, concealed weapons, and that they don't feel threatened, and they just say, okay, look, you know, I'm sorry, but this is my wife and these are my children, and you're harassing me, and I feel threatened.
Yes.
And they pull out a gun. I'm amazed that hasn't happened more than it has, but
you know what's going
what
to happen.
We're coming
if,
to.
Yes, if it continues, I agree with you. We're talking with Neville Kramer. He is a former INS agent. He is a security consultant. He'll go around the world doing security issues for people and companies. He's an author of a great book. It's called Immigration Chaos. It's still available on Kindle and the like, Neville?
Yes, immigrationchaos.com. You can get it to the website.
Good.
You can get it to Amazon and the Kindle version, exactly.
So,
and I'm looking maybe at doing an audio version of it. I think I might look into that.
Oh, that would be great. You got a good voice for it.
Yeah. People can sit in their car and drive down the road and regurgitate.
No. It's a wonderful book. It's a great book. And it's you know so much about the whole thing. But, I mean, this whole thing is security now, like you're saying. And with all of the demonstrations going on, which I think plays into Donald Trump's hands. I mean, every time something goes wrong in Portland or in Chicago or in Seattle, I don't know. It just seems to me that, you know, now you're a security guy. And things are going out of control in this country. I've never felt, I really think there's more people feel threatened. Do they not today than maybe in a long time?
Yeah, but Paul, let me raise an issue here that you won't for sure very many people talk about because you get, anyway, I don't know whether you saw the video of Trump's fella down there in Fort Lauderdale. He was arrested yesterday.
Yes. He was a campaign fundraiser, was he not, of some sort?
Yeah. I can't think of his last name.
I know.
Name, but,
I know who you mean. I'm going to look him up while you're talking.
Pasquale. Pasquale, yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
What I want you to know very simply is that this is what's killing the law enforcement community. I was a police officer, and I can tell you from the video, just from the video that I saw, that the police officer should be arrested for assault, at a minimum for assault. The police officer, they had no right to tackle that man. They had no right to do what they did to him.
Really?
And yeah, absolutely. He was told to come out of his house. He asked. He came out willingly. He put the can of beer that he had in his hand. He was shirtless. His arms were in the air, and the police officer came up from behind him. What they should have done, just so you know, is that as soon as he walked down and put the can of beer, they should have walked up to him. They should have put his hands on the truck and patted him down and seen if he had any weapons.
Right.
But to tackle him and throw him on the ground and then put handcuffs on him, what was he arrested for?
Yeah.
No, the police officers never saw any guns. They never heard any shots. They never had any probable cause to do anything but talk to the guy. Whatever his wife says is fine, but maybe the wife's lying. So they tackle the guy. They arrest him. They handcuff him. What for? And this is what's causing the police to be distrusted by the public. And I just don't know what we're going to do in law. There's solutions to it. I have one. I won't go into it. But, I mean, we have to, our police officers have to stop this mentality of it's us against them. That's something you won't hear discussed, but it's not good.
I mean, this all leads back to how we're controlling the unruly. I guess in this case, and I don't know all the details, but there was a domestic dispute of some sort, and the police were summoned, perhaps, and maybe there was a frustration on the part of the police. You know, if you went back and watched the entire thing evolve, you know, they didn't respond and didn't come out or something. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. The wife called the police after she left the house and complained that he loaded a bullet into his gun. He had 10 guns inside the house.
Okay.
He loaded his semi-automatic. Well, I load my semi-automatic in the house all the time when I'm, you know, making certain that it's loaded and unloaded when I clean it. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to shoot my wife.
Well,
you're having an argument.
Well, apparently she felt in some sort of harmful situation.
Yeah, but no need to tackle him like that.
No,
I
agree.
Anyway, I agree.
I would think that his lawyer is going to make that point, and they can show the pictures of this occurrence, too, you know, so it may work in his favor. So let me just kind of get back and maybe give you a final question. The overall situation with this debate, which I think a lot of people are going to watch, and you know, Donald Trump is portrayed as a very strong, with strong convictions about finishing the border wall, It was one of the first things when he was running for president. Remember, I'm going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. And maybe a little bit like the healthcare issue, maybe not quite resolved yet. Your final thoughts on that?
Well, I'm 69 years old, and I look at the whole situation. I'm sort of apolitical, a little conservative, towards conservatism. But if we don't reelect Donald Trump and we elect Joe Biden, this country is in bad shape. We're in trouble.
Katie, bar the door.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
We're in trouble. Joe Biden is not a president. He's not presidential material. He's a hack. He's been around 47 years in the U.S. Congress and the Senate, and Donald Trump is a doer. And he's a guy, I don't care what he says, I don't care what he stands up there and waves his arms or anything else, this guy is a doer, and he's done a lot for America, and we should give him another 4 years. It's that simple, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you make good sense to me. I want to thank you, Neville. It's always a pleasure talking with you. We've been buddies for quite a few years, and again, immigrationchaos.com, is that right?
Yes.
All right.
And the friendship goes back a long way, Paul, and I appreciate the invite, and we'll look forward to doing it again.
We will indeed. Thank you, Neville. All right, Neville Kramer, we are going to take our break. When we come back, we will have the master barber himself, and we want to find out whether he still thinks that Joe Biden is going to be a no-show tonight at the debate.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on what would you call this? The eve of the debate, even though it's the same day as the debate will be. It's going to be in Cleveland tonight at 9 o'clock. It's going to be on every major network. So you can't miss it. And I know one guy that's probably going to watch a little bit of it just to see if Biden will show up. Andrew the Master Barber is with us. Andrew, are we still taking odds on whether or not Biden is going to make it into the make it in for the debate? What do you think?
I don't know, Paul. You know, everybody's wound up for it. It's going to be quite a letdown if he doesn't, won't it?
Oh, my God.
I mean, if he doesn't show up and everybody's sitting in front of the television waiting, seems to me there's going to be a problem as far as his electability.
I wonder just if they would carry on. I guess they would carry on. Maybe they could put a cardboard cutout near the dais where Biden should have been.
Like they do with all the sports things, you know,
yes,
they put
indeed.
The cardboard cutouts in the seats.
Okay, assuming that Biden shows up, what is the over-under on when he will start blinking uncontrollably and flapping his lips with nonsense
coming out. I think when Trump first brings up $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife.
Oh, yes.
I think he'll cringe, his forehead will all wrinkle up like the ocean, and he'll blow a head gasket.
That'll be interesting. And with all these new 3D television sets in particular. But that, just to correct you a little bit, former mayor of Moscow, other than that, you got it right. What is Hunter Biden's been a busy young man. We should be having him on the debate stage.
Yeah, well, they should. They should. I'm quite sure he's going to be up there just in words alone quite a bit, to be honest.
Do you think, what's the over-under on whether Chris Wallace or Donald Trump says Hunter, the name Hunter Biden first?
Oh, Chris Wallace won't say it.
You don't think he will? Okay.
No. He won't bring it up at all. It's like I told you, he's got 10 different questions for Joe Biden, and one of them is, what's your favorite ice cream?
Yeah, you don't think much of Chris's integrity, do you?
No, I don't like him at all. I think he's a lowlife.
What about, that's okay. I've got some quotes about Chris Wallace from his colleague at Fox News, Brett Baer. You know who Brett Baer is?
I do.
What do you think about Brett Baer? Do you think he's fair?
Yeah, I think he's pretty fair with everybody.
All right, I agree with you. Well, he seems to think that there's going to be some trial by fire for both candidates, that Chris Wallace will indeed hit Biden with some pretty strong, pretty tough things.
Well, it all depends what you consider tough for Joe Biden. I mean, like I said, his favorite ice cream could be a tough question for him.
Well, it might be a tough question for him, but it won't be a tough question for us, the viewers. We'll want to see whether or not Biden is up to some tough questions. You know, Donald Trump took an interview with Chris Wallace not long ago. He sat down for an entire, I think, Fox News Sunday show and answered questions from Chris Wallace. Biden would not do that. Go ahead.
Hey, but he won't answer questions for anybody. He can go to a kindergarten class and won't answer their questions.
And his sidekick, or whatever you want to call her, Kamala Harris, did you know that she got up and made a speech about Amy Coney Barrett, a negative speech about her, and then she left the microphone, and she would not, the only audience she had was an audience of media, and she would not answer questions either.
You know, Paul, I have never seen an election where candidates won't answer questions, won't appear in public. I'm talking about for a school district. But now you got a presidential election. These people aren't answering any questions. Everything that comes out of it is negative, and they're worried about Donald Trump's taxes. You know, they're going to try to slam with anything they can against Donald Trump with this election. The New York Times, you know, what they're doing, they're getting information from people. People are selling out. How come they're not talking about Ilhan Omar harvesting all the ballots?
Yeah, we talked about that earlier in the show. Yes.
Yeah, right. How come we're not talking about that? How come we're not talking about all these ballots that are being found from the post office that the postal employees are destroying? How come we're not hearing about that, Paul?
Well, I think...
You know what? I want to know. I got my ballot up for sale. How much is it worth this
year? Yes. Well, I think Ilhan Omar will be discussed tonight, and if Chris Wallace does not bring it up, I believe that the Donald will bring that up. You know,
Donald Trump is going to be the main attraction, not Chris Wallace. I believe Donald Trump is going to be asking the questions by the time this is over with.
Well, as a matter of fact, in this little thing I'm reading about Chris Wallace, he wants to be somewhat invisible so that nobody's talking about him after the thing is over with. They're talking about the candidate. It's like the referee in a hockey game or football game. If you don't talk about the refs, they feel that they've done their job. You know what I mean? So that would be an interesting take. And I think he will let them talk. He will let them wander where they will. He might haul...
Well, you know, Joe Biden, where's he going to wander off?
Well, he might wander off into the, into the audience, forgetting that he's up there. That could, and that
he's
would.
He's going to tell everybody he's running for the Senate or City Council or something this time.
Well, he might be running for the exit. Who knows? You know, there's all kinds of things he could run for.
I can tell you that there are going to be a lot of televisions on tonight.
Yes.
And I think it's going to get more viewers than a Super Bowl ever dreamed of getting.
Ed was saying that all of the sports activities and playoffs are starting, by the way, tonight, are going earlier so that most of them can be over by like 9 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to have an hour and a half of Biden. I just wonder, you know, if the drugs can hold up for an hour and a half. I guess if he takes them just before he gets on the stage, but that would mean they might not actually have entered his system, and he might be up there kind of droopy and
drowsy. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think about a presidential candidate having Alzheimer's disease?
Well,
I mean, let's be real here. I would want to know if this guy's got it or not, and he should have had the guts to go get drug tested for it.
Yeah.
Like I told you, Trump doesn't care about if he's smoking pot or whatever. He wants to know if he's taking drugs for dementia and Alzheimer's disease.
Well, you know what?
Everybody in this country ought to be wondering that, too. And if he had any guts to prove that he's not the big farce that he is, he would have done it.
I'll tell you one thing. If the shoe was on the other foot and it was Donald Trump that had questions, you can bet the media would make a huge issue out of it, saying that Biden has asked that the president take a drug test prior to the debate. It'd be about
not only that. What if Donald Trump Jr. got $3.5 million from the ex-mayor there of Moscow?
That's just, by the way, the tip of the iceberg. If you go drill down, it gets into prostitution payoffs. Drugs. It's like a movie. You know, it's like a movie.
The best thing that could happen tonight at the end of this debate is they come out with a pair of handcuffs and put them on Biden for being involved with all the Ukraine and everything else. That would be the highlight of it all. Yeah,
Hollywood movie, you know, out of the golden age where the bad guy is cuffed at the very end and led away, kind of, you know, muffled voices and the like. That would be. Let me just tell everybody that we're talking with the master barber himself, Andrew Sorese. He's got the best barber shop in Tampa Bay, and he's over in Dunedin. And if you call for an appointment, hey, Andrew, I may come over for a haircut after the show if you can squeeze me in. But
that would be no problem. be no problem at all.
Good.
You know, Paul,
yeah.
Everybody's talking about the presidential debate, and that's good. But we ought to talk about what's going on locally with St. Pete, with Rick Christman and his chief of police. You know what?
Tell us a little bit about that. Yes.
They're disgusting. You got Rick Christman and his chief of police out there protesting with the protesters.
So Rick Christman is the mayor of St. Petersburg, and he's a liberal. He's a Democrat. What do you think the St. Pete Police Department thinks of their mayor?
They must like him, because they do what he tells them. They're not taking care of anything that's going on, Paul.
So what is going on in St. Pete these days? And I know that there's something coming up this Saturday. Is that right?
That's right. All the Patriots are supposed to get together and take care of business. And who knows what this is going to turn out to be, Paul?
Well,
you know, this could be coming to a head over there. People are fed up.
So there's going to be a get-together. Is it a specific time and location?
No, I'm still trying to find out more information about it, Paul, and the people to contact, honest with you. But, you know, I got to get involved in this.
Well, you're always involved in good causes. You're very pro-conservative. And as a matter of fact, we have a chance of getting that young lady that is going to be running against Charlie Crist in the 13th Congressional District on our show. We're hoping that she'll come on, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, some of those issues down in St. Pete.
Well, I'm hoping she gets on there too, Paul, because now is the time she needs to get off her duff and start campaigning. So as far as I'm concerned, she needs to be right at St. Pete when this is going on and confronting these people. This is what your congressman is letting happen. This is what your mayor is letting happen. No, she needs to get out there with her camouflage suit on.
Yes! She did all those commercials, and she had that.
That's right.
What was that?
And you got my permission to bring the AR, too.
I was going to ask
you. And the dog.
Is that an AR-15 gun, or can you tell what it was that she's sporting? That's I tell you one thing, it certainly made an impression. It looks like one of those characters out of a movie. They always have some young, attractive woman, you know, and she can do all the jujitsu moves, and she's
Rambo's wife.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly.
But that's what she needs to get out there. We need to defeat Charlie Crist. This guy's been a scumbag in that district for years now. He doesn't know what he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't know if he's a Republican, a Democrat, the independent, male, female. He has no idea. He goes whatever the wind's going to blow him. And as a matter of fact, there was one of his compadres. They got a couple pictures of him. He's running for a school board or something in St. Pete. They got pictures of him out protesting and everything with the black stuff on. on Saturday night with Charlie Crist with his arm around him.
Yep. Okay, so he's part of the he's part of that that
and
movement.
And this is the guy running for the school board there.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. Well,
it's terrible, Paul. This has all got to come to an end. Hopefully tonight people see this.
You know,
they see the debate and they realize that Biden's nothing but a buffoon, and all the people that are following him are buffoons.
Yeah, it's
this guy has done nothing.
I think most people are just waiting to see if there'll be a meltdown on his part. If you want to,
well,
know
let me
truth.
Ask you one question: how did Donald Trump get all his money?
Well, he earned it. He worked hard. He built up his real estate empire.
And let me ask you another question: how did Ann Pelosi, Joe Biden? How did all these politicians get their money, Paul?
Yeah, well, and being politicians, and if they just lift off their salary. Well, we know that Nancy married into some money, did she not?
No, we also know her father was in the mob big time, too.
Okay, so there's where you get a lot of money.
The Benedetto clan, buddy.
Yes, yes, indeed. I tell you. There is so much hypocrisy going around to point the finger at Donald Trump and how he made money. And by the way, when you refer to the New York Times article, the Times, way deep down into the story, admitted that Trump didn't do anything wrong by deducting what he deducted. He was following the rules. And
well, first of all, Donald Trump didn't do it. Okay? I take my taxes to an accountant. He says, sign here. Everybody takes their taxes to an accountant, unless you're a teenage kid that has a part-time job and pushes in the computer to do it easy. Anybody that's in business, there's accountants doing it. I never look over my stuff. The accountant does it. Here you go. Sign it right here. Okay. Now, you don't think Donald Trump does that?
Oh, God.
He probably owns the accounting firm that's doing
it. Yes. He's got all
okay?
Yes.
I mean, these people are being stupid. So if they're worried about the tax, why don't they talk to Al Sharpton about tax? He owes over $4 million in back tax, and he's sitting there calling Trump all kinds of names for not paying his taxes.
Yeah. Hey, by the
you
way,
know, these people are ridiculous.
By the way, I wanted to let you know that this is a real shock. The Washington Post has come out with their presidential endorsement, and it is indeed Joe Biden.
Of course.
What about The Rock, huh? Did you see The Rock endorsing
Dwayne
Joe
Johnson?
Biden? Yeah, give me a break. What a chichoon that guy is, huh?
Well, who was it that really went after him? A politician went after him for being such a hypocrite about it.
Yeah, these people, they need to be seen but not heard, believe me, because everything that comes out of their mouth is nothing.
Well, Johnson not only said, well, I've been listening to everything, and I think, you know, that Joe Biden's the right guy. And then he made some remarks about Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is so far left. He made positive remarks about her, and he claimed to be, first of all, he's probably the wealthiest guy in Hollywood.
He is, yeah.
You know?
He's not gay, is he?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, he's not.
I'm
and by the way, we don't want to talk
gay.
About somebody. Seriously, we don't want to talk about anybody's sexual
orientation. Well, I was just wondering, you
but
know.
But he's
okay.
not gay. He's a straight guy and a family guy and everything else. But I think he's a bit hypocritical. That was my point.
I happen to get a hold of, they just released this, the theme music that they'll be introducing the two candidates with.
Let's tonight. Listen to
okay,
it.
This is what they're going to introduce Donald Trump to. And now...
Oh, that's nice.
Former Vice President Joe Biden.
Okay. I think this is wonderful. I bet
they got Ed taking care of the audio tonight, I guess, over there.
Did each candidate pick his own theme music?
That's all, folks.
Okay, on that note, I got to let you go. I won't even have time for my top 10, but I'll be over for the haircut, and we can continue our conversation, Andrew.
You got it, buddy.
All right,
talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. There he goes. All right, let's quickly take a short break, Ed. We'll be back with our top 10.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, guys. Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. and then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Remember, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And I want to put in a plug for Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. You got to start your day with Paul and Tracy Allen. It's always a great show. Such energy that they have, and they're a wonderful couple. Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday on the Tantalk Radio Network. Well, we got a couple of minutes, Ed, and we got two things going on. Of course, our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning. And they did it without one of their best players, by the way, Steven Stamkos, although he did play for a short period in the other night. But they end up winning the game 2-0, I guess. Who was the most valuable player for the series?
Well, I believe it was Kucherov, but
Okay, I thought it was the defenseman.
I thought it was Hedman.
Yeah.
Hedman.
I think Victor Hedman, right?
Should have been Kucherov, I think.
Kucherov, okay.
Or
Vasilevsky. Vasilevsky played well.
Yeah, they all knew when they, you know, when the horn sounded, they ran right to Vasilevsky because, I mean, he didn't let, he stopped, what, 22?
Shutout in the final game.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, come on. He played great. I thought that they were clearly the better team.
Yeah. And did you know that I guess Stamkos playing that 2 minutes, now he gets his name on the cup.
Oh, I'm glad. That's wonderful.
I'm not sure that was their
No, he scored
intent.
A goal.
Exactly. Yeah, he wasn't out there as a decoy.
No, he looked great. I wondered what had happened.
He re-injured. Yeah,
that's terrible. Yeah. Well, I hope he's going to be okay for next year. All right. Also, we've got the start of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Mm-hmm. They had a shortened season. It's been a tough row for Major League Baseball, but our beloved Tampa Bay Rays have made it. Tell us who they're playing, et cetera.
And real quickly, if you're looking to see the Lightning tomorrow night, there's going to be a victory boat parade, 5 o'clock at Tampa Riverwalk, and then over at Raymond James Stadium. The stadium opens at 6:30. You do need a ticket. It's free. Go to Ticketmaster. You download your ticket. It is free. It'll open up the stadium, and then the ceremony will start at 7:30 tomorrow night.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and then the race tonight will start at 5.
5 o'clock.
Other games will be starting at 3 o'clock today.
And who are the Rays playing tonight?
The Rays are playing the Toronto Blue Jays, and it'll be at the Trop.
And it's going to be here.
Yep.
For some reason, and as they approach getting down to like 2 or 4 teams total, are they going to move to a particular...
Yeah, this is the only series, the Wild Card Series will be in their home stadiums. So after this is wrapped up, they will move to Los Angeles. And the others will be in Texas.
And do the Rays have the best record in the American League?
They do.
So they will have the
top spot.
They will play the lowest seed.
Yes.
And in the other league, is it the Dodgers?
The Dodgers
have
the top seed. Yep.
Okay. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We got more stuff. And then we have, I don't even know who they're playing, but we have the Buccaneers football team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They're at home against the Chargers this week.
Okay.
And they're allowing about 10,000 fans as a soft opening for the next game, which will they'll add another 4 or 5,000, so get it up to 14,000-15,000.
And will they space them out?
Yeah, that's the...
Oh, that'll be interesting.
That's the deal. You have to be spaced out.
All right. Excellent. It is time, Ed, for our top 10, and we did one somewhat similar yesterday in our show, but this one is really the top 10 historical misquotes, things that were not really said, but we believe that they were said down through the years. So without further ado, here we go. Number 10. Voltaire, the famous philosopher, his quote was, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." Well, he didn't really actually say that. He said, "Think for yourselves and let others enjoy the privilege to do so too." Okay. Now, that wasn't this, you know, doesn't seem to have the same ring to it.
Well, people hear things secondhand and then they change it, and this is probably fifth hand.
Plus, he said it in French, and by the time you translate to English, right? All in.
Yep.
Okay, number nine. George Washington, you remember this one? I cannot tell a lie. It was I who chopped down the cherry tree.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He never said it. He never. In fact, the story was first told in the 1800s by a biographer, and in his book, the biographer said the tree was not chopped down.
Well, I'd blame Trump. He chopped it down.
That could be. Number eight. Ever hear Murphy's Law? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that was Edward Murphy that supposedly said that. Edward Murphy did not say that. What he most likely said, something along the lines of, quote, if there's more than one way to do a job, and one of those ways will result in disaster, then somebody will do it that way.
Well, they were close.
I guess they were. All right, number seven. Mark Twain. And he was quoted as saying, the only two certainties in life are death and taxes, right? Okay. Well, it says here, more a problem of misattribution rather than a misquote. He did not coin the phrase. It was not Mark Twain. It was Edward Ward in Dancing Devils, a thing that came out in 1724, and where he wrote that, quote, death and taxes are certain. Okay, number six. We may have had this one the other day. William Shakespeare's quote, gild the lily. You remember that?
Yep.
Well, that's a misquote. The quote is, to gild refined gold to paint the lily. Number five, Niccolo Machiavelli. The quote, the end justifies the means. Have you ever heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a very liberal interpretation of what Machiavelli actually said. He said, quote, one must consider the final result, period. One must consider the final. I don't think that has anything to do with it. All right, number four. Winston Churchill, quote, the only tradition of the Royal Navy, the only traditions of the Royal Navy are rum, sodomy, and the lash. I never heard it, but apparently Churchill did not say that at all. His assistant did. What Churchill did say later was that he wished he had said it.
Mm.
Okay, number three. Marie Antoinette, have you ever heard this one? Let them eat cake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they have no bread, let them eat cake. She did not say that. It's much maligned. It was actually from the book Confessions, in which the author, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, said, I recalled the makeshift of a great princess who was told that the peasants had no bread and who replied, let them eat brioche. That's a cheese, I think. So, not even close. Number two. Paul Revere said, the British are coming. You think he said that, Ed? No. Revere's mission depended on secrecy, and the countryside was filled with British Army patrols. The quotation is more likely based on the famous poem, Paul Revere's Ride. And finally, number one. Philip Sheridan supposedly said the only good Indian is a dead Indian. What General Sheridan really said was the only good Indians I ever saw were dead. But then he actually denied saying anything remotely like it, so who knows? All right. Thanks so much. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine, but lately something's changed.